I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave.
This is EAA Radio.
It
and
is.
With us in the studio, you're going to like this. We happen to have Jonathan.
As soon as we find the name.
Jonathan Shannon. Yeah, I have it written down here
there
somewhere.
There it is.
From NOAA, we're going to be talking about hurricane hunters. I get the feeling you guys are going to have a really busy season this year.
You know, I don't know why they call them hunters. Those suckers are pretty easy to find.
That's true. That's true. Yes, we are going to have a very busy season this year. You know, the Climate Prediction Center said about 17 to 25 named storms we've only got to see so far. But
well, that's pretty amazing since we're pretty early in the summer.
Yep. And Hurricane Beryl really blew up on us. Earliest Category 5, earliest Category 4, and earliest Category 5 storm. So that was some interesting flying for about 9 days.
Oh, take me along. I'd love to.
Well, now, what kind of aircraft do you typically bust these storms with? I know you use C-130s, but you got to have more than just C-130s.
Yeah, so the C-130s, the Air Force Reserve Hurricane Hunters fly those. We have a highly instrumented P-3 Orions, Kermit and Miss Piggy, but soon in about 2030, we're going to replace those with C-130s with new technology because they're going to be 50 years old. Starting next year, and you know, after flying into a lot of hurricanes, we're going to try and get some new parts and new systems going.
They haven't been stressed.
No, not at
all. Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the tag team up higher is our Gulfstream 4 Gonzo, which after 28 hurricane seasons is going to retire. So we're getting a brand new G550 that we hope to get in spring of 2025. That's going to have a lot new. New instruments on it.
Yeah, your instrumentation technology has improved radically, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
When you say up higher, what altitudes are they penetrating at?
So they're not necessarily penetrating. They're going, you know, over and above the storm in front of it. They're looking more at the synoptic scale situation where the steering currents are in the upper atmosphere. So you may hear people on the news talk about dry air aloft or wind shear, you know, the different ridges that may push the storm and the fluid that is the atmosphere one way or another. So they're flying at about 41 to 45,000 feet, releasing those drop zones you have in front of you, basically weather balloons in reverse. And those are getting temperature, pressure, humidity, wind speed, and wind direction and radioing it back to the G4, soon to be G550, and the P3s.
I imagine now you're using GPS to track the horizontal travel of the sonde as it's dropping,
right,
and that's giving you your wind direction and speed.
Exactly, that's exactly right. So, part of the new technology we're also using are drones or uncrewed aircraft system that we release, basically a flying drop zone to help us solve that rapid intensification issue. So, Hurricane Otis off of Acapulco, Beryl also rapidly intensified. So these sensors will get down about 1,000 feet and below inside the storm and in the center of the storm. We'll take them there, release them, and let them fly where it's unsafe for us to fly.
Yeah,
and they'll
well,
beam that all back to us.
I think the word fly is probably loose. They're
yeah.
probably just getting tossed all over the place.
Yeah. They will fall gracefully.
Yes, and get tumbling and doing all sorts of interesting things.
Well, that has to be interesting in all of itself because that's got to be done remotely. You know, I'm wondering, well, are they doing it FPV or
no,
is it?
No, I bet they're autonomous.
Yeah, so there isn't an operator on board the P3 that is sort of controlling it, but they are also working on different modules. So the sensor on the aircraft can sort of say, okay, well, I'm going to keep the high wind to my right, and then it'll just sort of spin around inside, right? Or it could say, dive into the eye wall, ride it back into the lower winds, and that's sort of some of the new technology and
now, those
interesting
are throwaway
we're selling
as well, right?
That's correct. So we have expendables on board, you know, sacrifice for science, and then dissolve in the ocean.
Well, that begs the question. Yes, you only fly those out over water. If it's
exactly.
over land, you're not doing that.
That's right. That's right. So for our spring missions in the P3, we'll fly alongside Supercell Thunderstorm. So with the Twisters movie coming out, a lot of the NOAA's National Severe Storms Laboratory will support that mission about 5 or 10 miles off an advancing Supercell Thunderstorm front to really paint it with the Doppler radar we have. So we basically take weather stations to the weather.
Interesting. It says here in Wisconsin, you do snow surveys?
That's right. So our other aircraft we have light aircraft, King Air 350 CER. We just got a brand new King Air 360 CER, and our Twin Otters. So they do fly at about 500 feet off the deck and sense the moisture that's either in the soil in the fall or the snow water equivalent. So how much water is in that snowpack as they're flying. And that's critical for like drought monitoring, river flow forecasting, and then spring flooding. So if you've got a big snowpack that's already there and you might get like a big rain event, that could cause massive flooding, or just figuring out how that trickle is going to melt.
Okay.
Now, you're talking about the G550s, right?
Mm-hmm.
What special modifications are done to the airplane for your particular job?
That's a great question. So we've had a lot of apertures being built inside them by Gulfstream. So we bought an aircraft and we said, hey, cut these holes in it.
Yeah, while you're at it.
Yeah. And then we're going to start instrumenting it with some of our sensors. So it's going to have a tail Doppler radar like Gonzo currently has. It's going to have the drop sons, but it's going to have a newer equipment in it to take advantage of the mini sond we have. So instead of doing it by hand, we can do an automatic sort of pepper the atmosphere with these sonds. So that's going to be really cool for our technicians.
What's the aircraft worth? What's the, how much?
$20.
Yeah, so we just ordered a second Gulfstream 550 for about $106 million.
Oh, cheap.
Those are mighty big numbers.
What the heck? You got to have a backup
plane. Get one, huh?
That's right. That's exactly right. We needed a backup to help us. Not only do we do hurricanes in the summer, we do a really important mission for the West Coast called Atmospheric Rivers Research. So these are basically fire hoses of moisture coming from the eastern tropical Pacific to the West Coast.
And they've been having a lot of those.
They have recently. So before they were in a big drought, you know, most of the early 2000s, and the water forecast managers managing the reservoirs had to empty it to a certain point, right? Well, we're helping them with this science say, okay, well, you don't necessarily need to empty that water, and we can help you predict how much you're going to get so they can save more of it for those drought years. It's pretty neat.
That's interesting.
You know, you talk about California, and the one thing that they're known for are the forest fires you guys have out there. Mm-hmm. Are you guys involved in surveying those as well?
Yeah. So our Twin Otter aircraft has been doing an air chemistry project looking at, with a LIDAR sticking out the side of it, looking at the wind's inflow and outflow, a day-night cycle, as well as how these fires, massive fires, are maybe building their own weather systems. So they can make these pyrocumulus clouds that can do lightning strikes near the fire, and that could trap like the fire team. So we're helping gather more information about that so the incident meteorologist on the ground from NOAA can help advise the firefighters even better.
That's interesting. I would not have, I mean, I've heard of the fire tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know about cumulus clouds and lightning and all that.
Yeah, we love science at NOAA, so
yeah.
It's really cool. We have a lot of opportunities with folks who like aviation, who like science. You can come visit us in International Federal Partnership booth in Hangar D, so we can talk about that. And we also have some of our greatest hits playing on the video screen, so you can see some of that fire weather or fly through a hurricane or some of our Arctic research as well.
Yeah, okay. It's cold.
Yeah.
Damn, it's cold.
Damn cold.
Well, we hope so, right?
Yeah. Well, they talk about it, the ice cap's melting, so that's important to know.
Yep. We're monitoring that right now. Actually, we got a Twin Otter up there doing some research from the North Slope of Alaska, looking where the sea ice edge is and how that's changing and how it's affecting marine life there, too.
Now, I'm assuming the Twin Otter's got a good heating system on board.
I was going to say, the pilots, they know it's important, but they don't feel like it's that important. It's too cold.
Yeah, we got them in the survival suits and everything just in case. So they're flying about 1,000 feet, you know, in that area. So we've got to be safe.
Yep. Definitely.
It'd be safer to come home.
Yeah. The heck with this cold. We're going to do weather surveys in Florida.
That's right.
That's the major model on the airplane's a giant coffee pot.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say,
warm.
With the G550s, now you're flying over the storms. You're still going to get bumped around on them.
Oh, yeah. So we have a meteorologist on board that's looking at the nose radar. So it's, you know, a modified nose radar, not your business jet. We fly towards where the Aviation Weather Center says you should not fly.
Yeah, okay.
So we're working with Team NOAA. we have a good forecaster with us helping us pick our way through those areas, making sure we stay safe. And that's important to make sure we can collect the data where we need to safely.
Right. So there are limits.
Mm-hmm.
So there is actually weather you will not fly into.
That's right.
Okay, good, good. I can just see the pilot now. Well, the radar says it's beautiful over here, but we're going over here.
Yeah. What's up with that, you know? Well, I imagine it can cause quite a confusion. Now, do you take passengers? You know, ballast?
Yeah. So we do occasionally take folks like documentary producers, media, other folks like that, just to help us tell the story. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the guy on this sunny beach saying there's a hurricane coming in 5 days is not as effective as seeing out the window an actual hurricane in our plane saying, hey, it's coming for you, and it's strengthening.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
And not to mention dropping all the instrumentation, too. You know, you see it, and now you get to know what's going on in it.
It's critical.
I want to know, is this new, this automated drop-son thing? So I imagine the guy's got a control panel, mm-hmm. and he's doing other things. And whenever it drops, does it go...
Yeah.
There's
I don't know
one.
About the sound effects. There is sort of a sucking sound as the pressure differential goes, but we can look into that.
Yes. You know, notifications. So yeah. The guy doesn't have to pay attention to it. He knows it's working.
That's right.
You know, only you would come up with that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, audible clues are important.
Listen, you know, we could make hurricane hunting fun for you guys.
There you go.
Oh, we'll enjoy it.
Well, I want to thank you, Jonathan Shannon from NOAA, for joining us.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
This is EAA Radio.